Scripture reading this morning will be from 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll be going from verse 6 through 9. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings.
It's good to know that Bobby Wilson flew all the way in to Ventura to hear me preach. I don't think his brother's wedding has anything to do with him being here. I'm sure he came to hear me. Many of you know that Bobby is a really good fisherman. And one day he invited Dave Schultz, who's not so good of a fisherman, to go fishing. So they went up, got up real early in the morning. I get them mixed up. They're so good looking. Tommy comes and picks up Dave real early in the morning. He says, "Don't worry about what you need to bring. I'll bring everything." And they get up to Lake Casitas. They rent a rowboat, and they go out and they fish a little bit. Not too much luck right away. Then Tommy realizes Dave's getting frustrated, so I'm going to take you to a good place. So Tommy looks over and he finds and says, "Let's go over there." They start catching fish left and right. In fact, they caught so many they had to release. They got their limit and they had to start releasing, and they got tired. Their arms got tired of reeling in all those fish. And so they said, "Maybe it's time to go in." But Tommy said, wait a minute. Let's mark this place. Let's realize we can come back here next week." Dave thought that was a pretty good idea. So the tackle box was under Dave's feet. He opened it up as Tommy instructed, spray painted an X on the bottom of the aluminum boat, and said, "There, now we'll know where we're going to be next week." So Dave's rowing back to turn in the boat. He stops and he says, "Tommy, I got a problem with that X." And Tommy said, "Well, why?" He says, "What if they don't rent us the same boat next week?" Proverbs 17:22. The reason I told that story is it says a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. I almost changed my lesson this morning in class because we had a lesson on a cheerful heart. And I thought, well, I can't do that. I'm not that accomplished. Before I start, I'd like to mention I've had the privilege of teaching the high school this last couple months. And I asked him a question. We were talking about heroes and role models. And I asked them, thinking, well, I know they're going to say certain people are going to be their heroes, sports figures, singers, movie stars. And to my surprise, I also asked him to give me the reason. And to my surprise, they all said either their grandmothers or their fathers were their heroes. That caught me off guard. I said, we don't need to teach class this morning because we've already accomplished what I wanted to do. It was over with. I said, you guys have already taught the class. They gave very good reasons why they selected their grandmothers and fathers. And that melted my heart even more. Now, six of these children, young ladies and young men, are not new to me. Eight of their parents happened to be in a class that I taught years ago. Now, that doesn't add up, does it? Eight and six. But you see, three of the guys decided to marry three of the gals in their classes. And so, if you're still confused, ask me later. The high school class promised me they would smile. And I told them if they didn't, I was a pitcher in high school, and that I would throw this golf ball at them that was rolled at me during class. Has anyone ever had a bad day? Yeah, we all have. Has anyone had a bad week? We all have. A month? Most of us have. How about a year? Some. Some people have even had a lifetime of bad days. Life just hasn't been fair. I want to share a story I read many years ago in Reader's Digest. Reader's Digest put out a call and asked people to write in their story about their lives, of the terrible things that have happened to them and their families. They got hundreds and hundreds of letters. Reader's Digest narrowed it down to three people, three families. And they shared their stories in Reader's Digest. And every one of them were horrific. One of the things that Reader Digest did when they published those three, they had decided they would allow those three families to choose which other family they would rather trade places with. And after reading the other horrific stories, every one of those families decided to stick with their own problems. They decided life was not that bad after all. I wasn't so bad off. We've all have either experienced bad days, or someone seemed to get more than others. Bad things can manifest itself in so many ways: our health, injuries, stress, jobs, not having a job, family problems, and on and on and on. Why is it that bad things happen to good people? Are we being punished by God? Is God putting us to the test? Is Satan picking on us? Well, I do know that bad things happen to all of us. The difference is in the way we choose to handle it. Matthew 5:45, last part of the verse says, He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. That doesn't leave anybody out, does it? We all have bad things happen to us. I guess suffering brings about perfection. How do you say that? How can suffering bring about perfection? We'll find out later. I'd like to tell you a story about a young man. A true story. His name is Rich. He had two terrific brothers and a set of very wonderful parents, Christian parents. He was handsome, above average in looks, very athletic. In fact, he was the state of Oregon High School boys' singles tennis champ his junior and senior year. And he was, along with his cousin, was a doubles championship, won the doubles championship for the state of Oregon. And life was good for Rich. A very active in church, was a leader in the youth group. Rich was active in school, involved in government, involved in peer pressure counseling, dated the girl that everyone thought was the prettiest. He was the voted the prom king and his girlfriend the prom queen their senior year. He went on missions during the summer with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, both of his junior and senior years. And life continued to be good for Rich. He attended college at Oregon State University and got his bachelor's in business administration, remained faithful to the Lord, continued to be active in a church. Also married his high school sweetheart, the prom queen, while in college. Started a successful business with his long-time high school and college buddy and best friend, flying fishermen, I like that, flying fishermen and hunters into the backcountry of Alaska and Canada. Life was good. No, life was great for Rich. God had blessed him richly. One late August weekend, Rich and his partner decided to fly home to spend some quality time with his family, with their families, and their wives. After a great weekend, headed back to Alaska Sunday afternoon after church. Rich was flying the first half, and his partner was going to fly the second half. Just after takeoff, the engine began to sputter, then quit altogether. Nothing else to do but to try to emergency landing in a cut wheat field. At impact with the ground, Rich's seat belt broke and he was thrown free. When he came to, he could hear his partner moaning and yelling for help to get him out of the plane. He could smell smoke. Just then, the engine compartment burst into flames. Rich jumped up, even though he had a broken leg and a broken arm, among other injuries, to help his buddy. When he reached the plane, the flames were beginning to reach his friend. Rich made his way through the flames and pulled out his buddy to safety. His buddy survived with minor injuries and third-degree burns to his legs. Rich, not so unfortunate. Besides broken leg and arms, sustained first-degree burns over 80%. 80% of his body. He spent many, many months and years in the hospital recovering. But everybody supported him. Life was not so good, but bearable. Rich was lucky to have a wife, family, friends to support him. He still trusted in God. He underwent approximately 24 surgeries for the next 4 years, would never regain his looks, he would be scarred for life. When he did, leave his home, People as well as friends stared at him. He scared children. After 9 months, the friend and partner quit coming around. Rich called and asked why. The answer came in a form of subpoena. He was being sued for being the pilot of the plane. Life is turning sour. Maybe it would have been better if he had died in a wreck. Did God even care? Almost to a year from the date of the accident, his wife served him with divorce papers. Her reason? She couldn't stand the sight of him anymore and needed a change. 1.5 years after the accident, his dad, whom he had idolized, was arrested, found guilty, and placed in prison for real estate fraud. Rich to rich, life is not fair. In fact, life is lousy. God has abandoned him. He begins to think it's worth not living for. After 3.5 years, the insurance stops paying for his care. He'd reached the limits. Has to move in with his mom. Becomes a recluse. Starts talking openly about taking his own life. Visits from the ministers, social workers, psychologists only bolstered his spirits momentarily until they left. His mom kept encouraging him, constantly reminding him God had something yet for him to do. She would give him scriptures to read that were both encouraging and assuming and assuring of God's love. She had other burn victims visit him to show him that they could lead a productive life after being burnt. To Rich, life has become unbearable. Rich would rather be dead. Now, if you were in Rich's shoes, what would you have done? One day, Rich got out of bed and asked his mom over breakfast how she could remain so faithful to God who had dealt her such a lousy hand. Having to take care of me, her bitter and angry son, and having a husband who was in jail. Well, son, I put my trust in God, quote some memorized Bible verses every morning when I get up, and I pray for strength for him to carry me through each day. Rich asked, what scriptures? His mom said, I'll write them down for you if you promise you'll read them today. Not ready to put his trust in God again, he took the scriptures his mom had given him and put them in his pocket. Later that day, his mom asked him, have you read them yet? No, not yet, but I will. Not really intending to do so, that evening just before laying down to sleep, he read the scriptures out of respect for his mom, from the Bible she had placed on the table next to his bed. The first scripture happens to be, and I asked the youth forum to leave the two scriptures up here. The first scripture happened to be Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. He picked up the second and opened the Bible to the second scripture. Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And the last scripture was 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange had happened to you, but rejoice that your participation in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. After reading the scriptures, tears welled up in his eyes. He wasn't sure what to do next, feeling so helpless and guilty. At that very moment, he remembered a song from the past, and it seemed appropriate. And he began to sing it. I know the Lord will find a way for me. I know the Lord will find a way for me. If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will find a way for me. After the song, Rich remembered a scripture he once memorized as a high school student. Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate for one another. Forgive each other just as Christ has forgiven you. After reading that scripture, he remembered the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. We all know it. The son squanders his life savings. And then in verse 17, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So I got up and went to my father. But while he was still afar off, the father saw his son and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. After reading it a second time, then a third time, Rich realized he had become a prodigal son. He then fell on his knees and prayed to God to forgive him, restore him to his faith he once had in his younger years. And for he was sorry for blaming God and giving up on him. Won't it be grand to hear him say, well done? Won't it be grand to hear him say, well done? If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, won't it be grand to hear him say, well done? Rich is still living a productive, godly life, some 30 years after his accidents, as does his father and mother. He speaks to youth groups all over the state of Oregon to give hope. Rich is on call from the state of Alaska, Oregon, Washington, for counseling and mentoring severe burnt victims. And yes, people are still stare at him, as did my grandchildren. When I introduced them to him. But now Rich considers it a blessing. Life is good again. To God be the glory. 1 Corinthians 10. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand under it. No matter what our circumstances, no matter what life deals us, God is there. He's always loved us. He always will. And he's there to draw strength from. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, these have come to you, your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ Jesus is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Even Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Even Paul had bad days. But he counted it a blessing and understood that God's grace made him perfect. Bad things will continue to happen to us as well as others. Just what will you do when it happens to you? Will you stand up for God and be faithful? Or will you turn from God and crumble? I hope you can remember to sing, I know the Lord will find a way for me. If you're struggling, we can pray for you. If you want to turn to God and become His, we can help. Let me close this lesson, by again reading from 1 Peter. 5, 6 through 11. This is our closing invitation. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
Lord will find a way for me. I know the Lord will find a way for me. If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right.
The leadership team has asked me to remind everyone in the congregation that today is the last day to turn in elder recommendations. Tonight specifically is the last opportunity that we'll have. You'll find in the lobby a gold box with a slit in the top. That is for our convenience to be able to drop in our recommendation forms, these little yellow cards. There are an abundance of them all over in the lobby, so if you have misplaced yours, please pick up one there. The leadership